Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
At some point, you got to snap out of it and say, what am I thinking? Yes, I have adversity. Yes, there's calamity. Yes, there's all this tragedy. But greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. It's going to be okay. I know that. We know that.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, Did We Win? An article out of a Sports Illustrated. I'm just going to read you straight out of this article. Lee Steinberg, former agent for numerous NFL quarterbacks, recounts the conversation he had with Troy Aikman hours after the Dallas Cowboys won the 1994 NFC Championship, during which the quarterback suffered a concussion. And here's the conversation. Aikman, where am I? Steinberg, you're in the hospital. Aikman, did I play today? Steinberg, yes, you did. Aikman, how well did I play? Steinberg, you played very well. Aikman, did we win? Did we win? Steinberg, yes, you did. Aikman, what does this mean? Steinberg, it means you're going to the Super Bowl. 5 minutes later, Aikman asked the same exact questions, and Steinberg gave the same answers. After another 10 minutes had passed, Aikman and Steinberg had the same conversation again. Did we win? It is possible to take such a hit that you don't even know what happened. Or you don't even know what's going to happen, even though you know by faith that it's going to happen. You take such a hit that you forget the question, did we win? And the answer is already yes. Yes, you did win. You said, but I haven't even fought all the fights. I haven't even gone to battle in some things. But you're saying I already won. You already won. So how do I get there? Let's read some scripture. Matthew chapter 11. And this is probably one of the most encouraging few verses in all of scripture to me, because this is about one of the guns of all time who could not possibly have gotten hit hard enough to not know what's up, except that he got hit that hard. And began to even ask questions that you think there's no way he's asking this question. Matthew 11, jump in at verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, so where is John? This is John the Baptist, his cousin. And John is the guy who was sent 6 months older than Jesus, assuming that the babies came to term, 6 months older than Jesus. And he is the guy that is picked to go out and proclaim, here he comes. The Messiah is coming. And he knows it. And Jesus knows it. And they've had encounters their whole lifetime. And then here, John has been arrested for calling somebody out. So he's in prison. John heard in prison about the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples, guys that had followed him and helped him, and said to him, and this is the question he sends the two guys to ask, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Are you the guy? How could he possibly not know that he is the guy? He's the guy. John the Baptist is the guy. And before he was born, the angel told his father, and his mom and dad knew, he's the guy. So he knows all those stories. And clearly he's seen how God's used him. And yet here he's asking two guys to go ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we wait for somebody else? Now you think, well, is his cousin, God in the flesh, going to slam him? Look at the answer. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude. So he sends the two guys back to John to say, dude, I'm the one, basically. You know, I am the one. this couldn't possibly be happened if I wasn't the one. And so when they're leaving, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. So now he's talking to them not about himself, but about John, who they all had heard of probably. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft garments are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So it's not like Jesus slams him. You say, well, then how much grace is there? How many questions can I have? Can I ask the question now, even about the future? Because see, when you ask a question like, did we win? You have to take yourself into the future and look back and say, it didn't work out, did it? Because there are days when you get hit so hard, you stop believing it can work out. There is no hope. There is no tomorrow. There is no reason to keep doing the right thing. It's all lost. It's catastrophic failure of some kind, a family, and the texts, the emails, the calls I get from you and people beyond here, you don't have to imagine, because in some cases it's you. And you say, Richard, I got no more. Why is Jesus such a big deal? Because if you have Jesus, you got enough. And when the question is, did we win? You can know, even though you don't feel like it and it doesn't look like it, that the answer is always going to be yes. We won, and you haven't even finished the battle yet. You say, but I'm in the middle of it. You have to believe that you have won the battle you're in the middle of when you're in the middle of it. And that is part of what keeps you moving to see it actually come to pass. Let's go to the next one. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, and it's all good. It's actually kind of seems almost disrespectful to jump in the middle of a chapter. But Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 28. And we know. Now, who is the we? It's not the whole world. A pastor I know used to refer to this as a family secret. We know. There is something that we know. Now, what do we know? And you say, well, I'm not sure I know what you're about to say we know, so I'd like to get involved in the we. Well, here we go. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Do you know that? If you know that, that will change the way you live, and you can know that we did win before we actually do win. You say, but you don't know what's happening to me. You don't know what's going on in my family, my life, my work, my health, whatever these things are. I may not know that specifically, but what I do know is that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Is that you? Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then it's going to work out. He's going to bring something from it. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So the process is already done, even though you're not there yet. You say, well, so you've already been glorified. For all intents and purposes, it's a done deal. It just hasn't happened to me yet. Does everybody get that? So I'm in the process of being sanctified, but I've also been glorified already. Why? Because it's a done deal in the future. I haven't gotten to the future yet, but I know it's going to happen. I already won. Now the question is, how bumpy is the ride going to be getting there? And how much am I going to screw up and cause it to be even tougher to get there? There is enough pain and suffering in the world without us screwing it up anymore. Keep reading. And it just gets more. This chapter is amazing. You should just memorize this whole chapter. Or Romans, it would be good to memorize Romans. 31. So listen to what he's just said. What then shall we say to these things? So if that is true, that we know, specifically in those verses, that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose, what shall we say to these things then? If God is for us, who can be against us? You say, well, it seems like the whole world is against me. Even if the whole world is against you, God is greater than the world who is against you, so you're still going to be okay. You say, but it's the whole world. I feel like the whole world's against me. Is God for you? Then even if the whole world is against you, they're not greater than him. So unless you've decided to have some eternal pity party and just never believe anything, you're going to have a hard time whining and dining. If you read this stuff, at some point you got to snap out of it and say, what am I thinking? Yes, I have adversity. Yes, there's calamity. Yes, there's all this tragedy. But greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. It's going to be okay. I know that. We know that. Keep reading. If God is for us, and the fact is he is, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You say, well, God's not being kind to me. He doesn't love me. He's not helping me. He's not giving me what I want. You're dealing with a God who has freely given his own son to save your life for eternity. Then why would he withhold something after that? He is not against you. You say, well, he's not giving me what I want. He may be protecting you from what you think you need and want and not giving you that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So you think, well, Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead. He just went back, sat down. He's been working since he got there. Every day, 24/7, Jesus interceding to the Father on our behalf. He isn't just sitting there. It is Christ who died, furthermore is also risen, even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I thought anybody, because I didn't really understand that he loved me for a long time. I know he loves me. You got no thing, nobody, no place, no nothing going to separate me from the love of Christ. I may question it sometimes, but when I'm firing on all cylinders, I know that he loves me, and I didn't know that for too long. So a lot of things I question, but I don't question very much anymore that he loves me. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. You say, well, why is all that in there? We don't have any of that. There are people in this room who have experienced all of that. So when I read these scriptures, I think about these men. How many of your family have you seen killed? And it caused you to say, did we win? I thought we won. What is this? Or have to flee your house because of war. Now you say, well, you're trying to make my problems look not very big because somebody else has more trouble. I'm just telling you, it can get big. It can get intense. It can get so overwhelming that it literally takes your breath away and you can be that close to dying yourself, and you have to know that he loves you and that nothing can separate you from his love. And some people get tested for whatever reason or privileged to know it in a way that is beyond comprehension, and yet they stay. So then you go back and read this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness even, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, you would think that being a conqueror is enough. But he says, no, I didn't say you're just a conqueror. I'm telling you, you're beyond a conqueror. What is that? In all these things, what are the things? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, and this may be part of your challenge, until you're persuaded, it may not help you much. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present. Now look at this. Nor things to come. Stuff hadn't even shown up yet. You say, well, I got enough trouble with just stuff that's here. There's stuff coming. Things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can't come up with anything that exists or is going to exist that can separate us. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if you can't find conquer, victory, any success in any other area, then at least give him this. 1 Corinthians 15, jump down to verse 51. Behold, this is Paul writing to this group in Corinth. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We will not all die. Death is seen as falling asleep, especially for a Christian, because you fall asleep, but it's not like you're dead. You're in heaven. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, when he uses corruptible and incorruptible, he's just talking about a body that deteriorates and decays, and then you have a body that will not do any of that. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Just gone. So you say, well, I'm afraid to die. If you're a Christian, I may have concerns about how I die, but I am not afraid to die, because the last breath I take here will be the first breath I take there, and you can't stop that. So I have tremendous peace. I have tremendous hope. Even if all hell breaks loose everywhere else, I know that the ultimate enemy, death, has been conquered. And the second I die, I live. You cannot stop me. Did I win? Already won. But you're still alive. You're not dead yet. It doesn't matter. I promise you, when I die, I live with him forever. Guaranteed promise. Not my word, his word. 1 John chapter 4. And it's almost over. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, in other words, this is written to believers. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So, did we win? Yes. Stop living like you didn't win. It's like before the season even starts, they come by your locker room and say, here's your trophy. We're telling you up front, you already won. And then you're sad the rest of the season. What are you sad about? Oh, we didn't win by enough. What? So, coach, you're saying we already won, yeah, but we got to play the games, yeah, but we already won, yeah. It's amazing how if you go into your day being told you've already won, how much you win. You say, oh, that's just positive thinking. No, there's nothing just positive about greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world, and the person being in you is Jesus. That is not positive thinking. That is the power of God resident inside you, giving you the ability to live out what he says is already true about you. And I use the orphan analogy along the way. You know, you pick up an orphan, go to an orphanage and get you an orphan. You take them home. And you say, look, our house, you're our kid. Nothing can separate us. We'll never abandon you. You are our child now. It's easier to bring an orphan into a house than it is to get the orphan out of the orphan. When they still think or believe, I don't belong here, this is not my family, they don't love me, they're going to get rid of me, it's hard to get that mentality out. So God has said, if you trust him and you are his child, he has said, you are my child. What do you want him to say? You are in my will. And when Jesus died, the will got executed, so everything that anybody has access to as a Christian, you have access to. It's there. Get in on the will. And we mope around like nothing happened to us. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the living God. Everything in heaven that is Jesus is mine. It can't get any better than that. 1 John 5, and these are very simple verses. Verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know, you think, oh, I want to obey God, but it's so hard. Do you know why it is so hard to obey God? Because we want to do what we want to do. Amen. It's so hard because we don't want to abandon our pet little sins. If you decide to repent, obeying Christ is simple compared to living in sin. It's not, oh, I can't do this. It's so miserable having joy and peace and love. I hate this. I got to go back to my old ways. This is crushing me. It doesn't even make sense. So keep reading. His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So one of the indicators that you're a child of God is you overcome. So the world comes at you with whatever it comes at you with, and you go, nah, no thanks, I got Jesus. You say, yeah, but the stuff they're offering is great. It's because his fancy has not trumped your fancy. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Now look at this. What would the answer be here? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So all of a sudden, faith is the victory. So how does that work? You say, wow, so Jesus is the answer. He died, buried, raised from the dead. Now I got eternal life. If I accept this gift that he offers, he moves into me. He's going to live in me and through me. And now faith gives me the ability to have 20/20 hindsight vision. So I can run down the road a few thousand years, turn around and look back and go, I win. And then you run back down here and live it out. But see, if you don't believe you win before you win, then you live like a loser. It's amazing how peaceful you get. It doesn't mean a team doesn't play the game, but all the anxiety goes out the window. You say, we're going to win. Okay, coach, you promised us. It's halftime. You're telling me by the end of the game we're going to win. Yeah, go out there and do your best. You're going to win. Then you're not fretting and anxious. You're just living it out. And then you actually get to the end of it and go, coach, we won. Yeah, I told you we won. But we still had to play? You still had to play. So we're going to win these battles? Yeah, in the end you win. But we still have to fight. Still have to fight. It's just interesting, when you've been labeled a winner, it is easier to live that direction than being told by the enemy you're nothing but a loser. And he's great at telling you that right after you prove him to be right.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, one last one in Revelation. So you know there's got to be hope, because like I'm running out of books. Revelation 12. And I don't really have time to read this whole thing, but just an excerpt about the end. Revelation 12, verse 7. Now, by the way, when you read the book of Revelation, you're a crazy person. If you read this and say you believe this, you're a crazy person, because none of this has happened yet. This is a guy saying he was taken into the future, saw all this, and instructed to write it down. And you say you believe this because it's a fact. You say, but it's future. It hadn't even happened yet. He is the God of the beginning and the end and has seen it all. Jump in here at verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Doesn't sound like he wins. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So how do you overcome? The same way they did then in the future. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives unto death. In other words, willing to die if that's what it took. So the devil comes at you with whatever. You say, you know what? All that got covered by the blood of the Lamb. And my testimony is, it covered me. And even if you try to take my life, you can't take it unless God allows it. So what you got? Bring it. So you've been hit. A little discouraged maybe. and you're not even sure what happened. And you ask, did we win? And I'm just here to remind you today, yeah, you won. Now I encourage you to live that out.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.